Hello, this is Liz Bobo, and we are here for a program on reflections on life. Today, I have as my guest my husband, Lloyd Knowles. We're actually here in our home because of the coronavirus. The studio at the community college is not being used the way it usually is for this program. So this is very different for us, and it's kind of fun. We're sitting in our dining room looking out the window at a pond where we can see dogwood and cherry blossoms and forsythia and geese and ducks and turtles, and it's a very different environment than being in the studio, and it feels good to be here. And I'm really looking forward to, I'm not going to exactly interview my husband, Lloyd Knowles, the way I interview most people who come on the program as a guest. We'll be talking back and forth about our experience living in Jim Rouse's Columbia from the inception. And I moved here 10 years after that, having lived out in Ellicott City. We both played major roles in the development of Columbia. My husband, again, more so than I, he was on the planning board in the very beginning days, and even before Lake Kittamakundi was built, which was, you know, the first of the lakes built here in Columbia. So it's a different kind of program, and it feels really good in these times of so much stress with this coronavirus. It feels warm and it feels safe being here. And we love that, having been a part of the history of Columbia from the beginning. We love the fact that we actually had the opportunity to get to know Jim Rouse and what a magnificent human being he was, and how important it is that we remember him, not just that he built Columbia, but that some of the stories, such as the one when he learned that some people were being discriminated against in getting into some of the facilities, and the letter that he wrote to all of the realtors here in the county at the time. There were not nearly as many as we have now. And we need realtors. Realtors are a good profession, a good occupation. But he wrote a letter that is just so beautiful, that this is an open city. You know, this is an open city. No one will be discriminated against. And if I see anyone or learn of anyone who is discriminating in the practice of real estate, you will never sell another home in Columbia. And when people responded, well, how, what can you do about that? You know, you're not the real estate companies and you're not the builders. And he said, yes, but you have to remember, the builders need my approval to build anymore. And anyone who is involved in any kind of discrimination will not do business here again. And just 2 years ago, I read that letter over at Centennial Park at a gathering of, it was an LGBT, big, huge gathering at Centennial Park. I think it's the biggest crowd that's ever been at Centennial Park. And Calvin Ball, County Executive Ball, asked me if I would say a few words. And so the words I said were to read that letter that Jim Rouse sent out to people in the real estate industry 48 years before that. And although this was an issue about LGBT issues, not about race, the message applied equally to the two. So we love where we live, and it just feels really good sitting here looking out the window to our home. So I think the way we are now in the third week of the coronavirus epidemic, is that what I call it, honey?
Well, it's more than 3 weeks of the epidemic.
But is it?
We've been self-quarantined.
That's right. Yeah. Self-quarantined for 3 weeks. And so it's a very I don't know what word to use, but the way it feels to me is that we're living in a very tenuous time right now. This is uncharted territory for us. And we are, Lloyd and I are remaining optimistic. We're very optimistic people, I think, don't you, Lloyd?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we're very optimistic people. But this is, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I realize that, you know, this is different. Things are different now. And we'll see how this plays out. We are fortunate to have very good neighbors. And four of our kids live within a short distance. So in our self-quarantining, we have not been in any grocery store or any drugstore. Our kids run the errands for us if we need them. And the only thing that we are doing out of the house is taking a daily walk of about 2.5 miles. And we walk on down into the Middle Patuxent Valley, which is the area that I mentioned where Jim Rouse donated a couple thousand acres to the county with this beautiful park where the Little Patuxent River runs through. And we're able to walk out the back door of our house, around the pond, cut through a neighbor's yard, and walk on down into that valley. And it's very peaceful. It's a place, the walk feeds my soul when I take that walk. So it's a very good place to be today. So I wanted to ask Lloyd if he would talk a little bit about how he's planning to use his time during these days when we are so schedule free. And we both like activity. We like to be around people. We like to be involved in our community and in causes, but we also very much like to have as few things as possible show up on a regular basis on our calendar. Not that we want an empty calendar, but we like to minimize the things that show up on a regular basis. So tell us some about what you're up to these days, Lloyd.
Well, we do have very, very special things to us, not calendar events, but we do spend almost every day doing, at least I do, doing a lot of things day to day over and over. And one is going up to the local Dunkin' Donuts shop and sitting and having a cup of coffee and a couple donut holes and talking with our friends. We've gotten to get to the point now over the years where we have our own seats, which we are able to get most of the time. And sometimes people that know us a little bit, even if not very close friends, if they see us coming in and they are at our table, they'll often come up and gesture that they're going to leave and we get that table. And then we pick up the newspaper with us, and when I come home, I lay down on the couch and read the newspaper. And by that time, it's usually 11 o'clock in the morning. But what I miss most with this self-quarantining is not any of those newspapers, but sports pages. I miss baseball an awful lot. We canceled a trip to Florida. We had always been going down to spring training to see four or five games, to see my beloved Phillies from Philadelphia. I was brought up in Philadelphia, and they continue to be my favorite sports teams. But we're very optimistic about this year, but that is the Phillies. They had the best spring training record of any team. The spring training was only about halfway completed when they shut it off, but we're very optimistic. And that springtime to me is finally, it's not a calendar, it's baseball training camp is starting. So that's one of the things that I really miss. And I also wanted to talk for a little
Can I say something about your baseball?
Sure.
Just something? Yeah, after I have virtually no interest in professional sports. I love to walk. I played a half-decent game of tennis when I was younger, but I'm just not into organized sports. And Lloyd tried to get me, you know, to go to games with him, and I would. I love to go to baseball games. I like to eat a hot dog. I like to drink a beer. I like to watch the people in the audience. But Lloyd was determined to teach me the game of baseball, and he spent a couple years working on that. And one year, I think it was the year after we had been married, we dated or whatever you want to call it for quite a few years before we got married and Lloyd moved in here. And he was watching baseball on television one day. And I went down to, how did I do this? It was an all-star game. And I came down and I said, I heard the mention of the Orioles, and I said, honey, I didn't know that the Orioles made it to the All-Star game. And he turned around and looked at me with more disdain on his face than I think anyone has ever had in looking me in the eye, and said, honey, that's okay. You don't have to try anymore. So I have not tried since then, but I'm just to attest to Lloyd's love of baseball. It's something I don't understand, but it's very, very real and very important to him. So I get a big kick out of being a part of it and going down with him to Florida. But I don't go to the baseball camps. I go to bookstores and coffee shops and then hook up with him after the baseball. So just wanted to give that example of how patient you are and loving me anyway, even though I can't tell who's on first.
Okay, what is it that you miss most, Liz, about being cooped up here in our beautiful home?
And first I'll say that I really don't feel cooped up, because my books and are almost like people to me. So but what I miss is seeing my friends and getting together with them. When Lloyd talked about our going to Dunkin' Donuts, that is where we go. That is his favorite kind of coffee. So that's where we go most mornings, particularly since I've been out of the legislature now for 5 years, not going down to Annapolis. But when I get together with my friends to go for coffee, it's to an independent coffee shop somewhere, and we have a lot of them around too. So I miss getting together with my friends. I miss seeing my friends. I miss seeing our kids. One of our kids is going to drop groceries off soon, possibly even while we're doing this recording. And, you know, I can see through the glass and wave to them, but I miss seeing my kids. I miss seeing my grandkids. And I thought I was going to miss going out to restaurants a lot, because we do go out for dinner quite often around here, but I'm really not missing that much at all. We're cooking at home every night simply, and it's been very good. So that's where I am on it.
Let me mention some of the precautions that were taken, those precautions that are not quite mainstream, I guess, but they're ones that I think are just a little bit more that keeps us safe. For instance, we've given up the newspapers. They won't be coming back until the end of April. Same with mail. We're not receiving any mail. They're holding that up and coming back. And our kids, when they bring groceries over, we leave them on the porch for at least 5, maybe 6 hours or so before we bring them in, because we do know that the virus does not live very well on surfaces, but needs a human being in order to flourish. So after 5 or 6 hours, I think generally the viruses have gotten rid of their vitality sit with on groceries or mail that's sitting on the porch. I've also beginning to pay my credit cards over the phone rather than even going to the mailbox to get the bill. I just call them up when I think it's an appropriate time, of which I have records from last month. And then we settle everything over the phone, and we don't have to worry about the mail, either going to the mailbox, coming back, or actually handling the mail.
I'm actually just learning about that. I didn't know you were doing that. It's great. Lloyd handles all of that kind of thing for us, for which I'm very grateful.
And this spring, again, change of pace, looking out on the two ponds. One is a farm pond from many years back when this was, in fact, a farm. And the farmhouse was no more than about 60 yards or so from where we're sitting now. The other pond, the upper pond, is a storm water management pond, and much more shallow than the spring-fed farm pond. But each year, we have a pair of geese coming this time of the year. Actually, they've been around for 2 weeks or so now.
We can see them right out the window now.
I think they're the same yearly pair. But the pair, and I understand that geese, when they get attached to each other, they stay essentially married for life. There are a lot of bachelors that come into the pond and start vying for the attention of the female. And they haven't learned yet that once there is a mating season, that the female is going to pay them no attention at all except to try to scare them off. So there's a lot of screeching and yelling from time to time. And another thing that comes from that is they nest on the edge of the pond, and she's on those eggs for, I don't know, 3 weeks. Sometimes it seems like even 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the ducks, I mean, the geese rather, they pop out. Pop's very proud, and in just a short while, they're ready to take the youngsters into the water, and I guess they don't really have to teach them how to swim, but they pretend that they do. Unfortunately, almost every year, only every year except one that I can remember, is that these 6 or 8 or 10 baby geese get reduced almost daily by the snapping turtles. I understand that their technique for the turtle is to grab the legs of these little ones, pull them underwater, and essentially drown them. And then they can eat them at their pleasure. And more often than not, none of the geese, absolutely none of the geese, it's escaped the snapping of turtles that are the kings of the two pond. There aren't any other fish in there either. Generally, sometimes we just see a little couple minnows. So that's where we're in the midst of that season right now, honey.
Yeah, we are looking at them.
So what more do you have to talk about in isolation?
One of the things that surprised me about myself is I thought I would read some books. And I was a literature major in college. If I had it to do over again, I'd be a literature major. It was a kind of an odd selection for me because I grew up in a family with very little money. My dad got Parkinson's disease when I was 2 years old. And so I did not have much money when I was growing up. But it never occurred to me to major in something that I could rely on for a living. And I'm so glad it didn't occur to me, because I'm glad I majored in literature. But I haven't read one book in this time. I'm reading my magazines. I love I love the New Yorker. I love, one of my other favorite magazines. And I'm reading good magazines cover to cover, but not doing much reading with books. So getting beyond the idea of spring, I want to just touch on one other subject here about what is in my daily life. And it's something that I started about 10 years ago. And that was going on week-long silent retreats. And I went mainly with American Buddhist monk named Jack Kornfield, and would go for a full week overnight. And it played a huge part in my life. And I haven't been on a week-long silent retreat now for a couple of years, but I do still meditate during the day. And I find this to be a very good time for that. Spring is a good time for any season is a good time for meditation, but and to go within and see what's there, you know, see what's going on in your mind. And even though I've been doing this now for, I guess it's close to 15 years, which is not long for a lot of people, but for me it is. And it's surprising what you find in your mind sometimes. And just to be with it just the way it is, not to try to get rid of it, not to try to change it. So I find that spring is a good time for that. And so is winter. Any time is a good time for meditation. But I find it particularly helpful. I do it just in periods of maybe 15 minutes at a time now. And it's helpful with just being with what the world is like now and our limited ability to do anything about it. So I've loved these past 3 weeks, and I'm hoping that we will be back where our kids and our family and our friends will be coming in to visit us again when we're not all on quarantine, as just this is the first day for Maryland's governor's edict that we stay at home unless it's really important for us to go out. And as eager as I am to get through this time, I'm also looking forward to it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's I'm getting to know myself better. And for that matter, I'm getting to know Lloyd better too. So peace to all of you. Peace and love, actually, is what I believe. I don't just believe. I'll be so bold as to say I know that's what it's going to take us to get through this. So may you have as peaceful and loving a life as possible, and particularly starting with you here on the Dragon Radio program. It's been good being with you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.